Welcome, everybody. Thanks very much for joining. Today is the 75th live chat show. I had this idea on the 23rd of March on the first lockdown, thought I would do two, and I've actually done 75. And Will said to me this morning when we rehearsed, would I be doing 100? I really hope so. And not because of lockdown, I hope we'll be out of lockdown, but this has been hugely successful. I made a lot of extra friends like you, and thanks so much for joining. Last week, I got an email from one of the ladies in the accounts, one of the account directors for NHS in Curno, which is in Cornwall. And I wrote about it in my newsletter, but I just wanted to mention to you the use of the word curious. Curious is a fantastic word, particularly if you get one of those toxic emails that we all get from time to time. What I recommend in a negotiation or an influencing situation, if you get one of those, pick up the phone, ring the person. When they answer it, use their name and say, "Hello, Will, it's Derek. I just got your email. I'm curious about where you're coming from," and shut up. It can be hugely effective. It kind of blows their mind on the basis that they're surprised you phoned them. They fired off the email, perhaps without thinking, without too much emotional intelligence going into the content of it. And they'll be taken aback. You'll almost be able to see them, in theory, move back, and then you can have a sensible conversation with them. It takes some nerve to do, but just try it. It's much better than emailing. And if you don't want to phone them, maybe send them a text instead of ringing them. So now let's move on to my very special guest, Will Kentish, great friend of mine. I've known Will for 20 years. We are both lifelong learners. We love learning. We want love teaching, and we want love sharing our information with people. Will's business has all been face-to-face, teaching people as to networking. He's been voted the number one guru on networking in the UK, and he's part of the Professional Speakers Association Hall of Fame. But since March, Will's been working on his business to provide his courses, his training, his keynotes online. So Will, I'm delighted to have you back on the show. Thanks for joining us. We're looking forward to your tip-top tips, all in those 31 minutes that I promise you. Over to you, Will.
Thank you. Can I ask you to all go on to speaker view, if possible? And I'm now going to share my screen. And if you go to side by side, you should see two vertical lines. And if you drag the vertical lines across to the middle, you'll get me in half the screen and the slides in the other half. So I've been doing this for 20 years, showing people how to become effective and confident networkers face to face. So as Derek said, things have had to change dramatically first week in April. And what I've realized is that whether it's face to face or online, the principles of networking are very, very similar. And when I started this new career, having done accountancy for just on 36 years, I realized that the people that I'm sharing my knowledge with are technical people, professional people, researchers, professors, and they like a system. Do you like a system or a process? Well, I'm going to start off today with giving you a system to network. So when you accept an invitation or you invite somebody, you're going to meet people. You're going to start building relationships. That is what networking is. That's all networking is. Or take it down to its absolute basic, everybody. Networking is just talking to people. So I've been earning a living now for 20 years teaching people how to talk to each other. But if you accept that networking is what we do every day of our lives, if we're with other people, then the number one core skill to good, effective networkers is asking the right questions. And this evening, my focus is on asking the right questions. And in fact, you don't know this because we haven't told you. we're going to do some real live networking. I'm going to put you into, how many people have we got? 22 people. I'm going to put you into 11 breakout rooms a couple of times so you can practice your networking techniques. Because when you ask good questions, everybody, you might spot whether anybody has a need for your services. We call it the aha moment or the light bulb moment. And whenever you spot a potential opportunity, whether it's face to face or through the camera, I want you to follow up. And Derek has already said it. Don't follow up with a type. Follow up with a talk. Always, always, always the best way. And the reason you don't follow up with a talk is because you've got that awful fear, fear of rejection. Well, before I finish my 31 minutes today, everybody, I'm going to ensure that you'll never have that problem again. Because when you follow up to arrange a further meeting, whether it's a Zoom meeting or a proper meeting when things get back to normal, and you meet prospects, that's when the oil gushes out and that's where you create more business opportunities. So that breaks my heart. I don't know whether it breaks your heart. I know lots and lots of introverts who absolutely hate face-to-face networking love the world of lockdown because they can do their networking and do it without having that scary picture in front of them. So let's talk about great questions. When we went to school, we were judged on the quality of our answers. It's called exams. But the world I'm sharing with you now is all about the quality of your questions. So when you start asking people questions, and again, everything I'm talking to you about today does not matter whether it's through the Zoom or whether it's in the room. It's exactly the same. So when you start asking really good questions, make sure you look or listen, obviously, to the answer, but look at them when they are answering. You see, we can all lie with our words, but we can't lie with our tone of voice and body language. So if you ask somebody a question and they don't look at you, so if Derek says to me, hey, Will, how's your business been in the last few months? And I go like this, do you know what, Derek? We're not doing so bad, really, thank you. He can probably tell from my whole demeanor that I'm not quite telling him the truth. And the other reason I want you to look at people is some people are what I call high reactors. They want to share everything with you. And some people are low reactors and they don't want you to tell you anything. Well, when you meet a low reactor and you start asking too many questions, it just becomes an interview, not a relationship building exercise, i.e. networking. Something else in your questioning. Now, you all understand interrupting and you all understand answering in advance, but do you understand hijacking? Occasionally I hijack, but I do it less and less and less because the more I talk about it, the less I do it. So let me explain what hijacking is. So if I say to Tim, my good friend Tim in Texas, so Tim, what was your last vacation? And he says to me, do you know what, Will? We went down to Florida. And this is hijacking. You went to Florida, Tim. Do you know what? We went to Florida last Christmas. We took all the family. We went to the Everglades and we went to those awful parks that Mr. Disney set up 30, 40, 50 years ago. So what have I done with Tim? I've hijacked his conversation. Try and avoid it, everybody. It's terribly tempting. But what I have to do now with Tim is say, so where did you go, Tim? He said, I went to Florida. And then ask him all about where he went, what he did, who he went with, what he enjoyed about it. And then share your knowledge and your experiences about Florida. So if you are a professional hijacker, can I suggest that you stop doing it? Now, can I introduce you to Ted? This is Ted, everybody. Now, but people who've never heard me or seen me before, you're probably thinking I'm a bit of a weirdo. I mean, what am I doing with this teddy bear? Well, this guy is really, really important for you. You see, a lot of people, particularly younger professional people, professional in the overall sense, they do not ask enough questions. And the reason you don't ask enough questions is because you're nervous that you'll get an answer that you don't understand, or you get involved in conversations where it's perhaps gone over your head. So what happens? You feel vulnerable. You feel embarrassed. You actually try and back out of the conversation. Well, don't. If you don't know what's going on in a conversation, don't back out. Get stuck in. So what does TED mean? TED is a three-letter acronym. There it is. If you don't understand something, tell me what you mean about that. Explain how that works. Describe to me in a bit more detail, because I just don't get it. And you know what? The other person won't think of you as a fool. They'll think of you as somebody who's pretty bright. You see, the only stupid question that we have is one that is in our head that does not come out of our mouth. So please remember, asking questions is the key. And have you ever come away from a conversation where you thought, I wish I'd asked that, but I was a bit nervous? Well, have you ever seen this phrase? Always ask it. And if you think it's a bit sensitive, put a prologue in front of your question. Look, I might be being a bit cheeky here, but do you mind me asking you this, or do you mind me asking you that? So that is all about questioning. And finally, can I introduce you to Will's 4-question rule? What's this about? I bet that you've been involved in conversations with people where you ask them the first question, the second question, the third question, the fourth question, and nothing's coming back. Does that ever happen to you? If you ever go to a networking event where you're both standing there chatting, I will ask somebody 4 questions, and if nothing's coming back to me, I politely excuse myself and move on. Because what's the point? They're saying to me, Will, I'm not interested in you whatsoever. In which case, I will move on. On a one-to-one in front of the Zoom, it becomes a bit more difficult. But please, everybody, I hope you never are one of those people who doesn't ask enough questions. I left accountancy through a great, great man who I wish I'd met. He was called Dale Carnegie. He wrote that famous book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And do you know what he said? One of his many, many timeless, famous quotes. He said this: the most interesting people we ever meet are those who are most interested in us. So hopefully everybody on this mini workshop tonight are going to be perceived as the most interesting person. And again, how do you become interesting? By interested. And how do you become interested? By asking great questions. Now, there are 4 areas of questions. There they are. We're going to cover a couple of them tonight. And we're going, let me see what the next slide is, because I can't remember. Oh, yes. We're going into breakout rooms, and you're going to meet people either who you know or you don't know, but it doesn't matter. And in a second on the slide, I'm going to show you a question I want you to ask each other. And this question bridges across the icebreaker question and the small talk question. And it was a question that my good friend Tim introduced me to a few months ago, all thanks to Derek, who got us all together. And there's the question, everybody. There's the question. What's the best thing that's happened to you today, or for those of you Americans who've only just got up, in the last few hours, the last 24 hours? Now, if you get into a breakout room with somebody who you know and absolutely hate, then all you do is press the leave button and you get out of the room. But I'm sure that's not going to happen. So let's see how we can set this breakout rooms up.
Now, Will, I've let 2 people in that registered late on my dodgy list.
Okay, right. Well, there's 24 people. Let's create 11 breakout rooms. Assign you automatically. Let's create. By the way, you're going to get only about 5 minutes at the most. In fact, 5 minutes, yes. And you will get a 60-second warning. And I'm not going to pressure anybody, but I would love to hear one or two stories of what the best things happened to you in the last day or the last 24 hours. So I'm going off to have a gin and tonic. I'll see you in about 4 minutes and 32 seconds. Off you go. Here we go. Welcome back, everybody. So anybody like to share a little story? Anybody? If not, I'll move on. Anybody like to share anything?
I would, if I may, Will.
Mark.
I was just telling Tim, first of all, I was delighted to be in the breakout room with Tim. One of those just complete quirks of fate, a client that I'd been supporting for the last couple of years, they're a bit cash strapped at the moment. And just bizarrely, at 4 o'clock today, one of the briefings that comes out, they were mentioned in there in a JV with the massive Harrison Street, the big US company. And Harrison Street are going to form a joint venture with my former client and give them, you know, all this extra money to enable them to build lots of nice properties. So I dropped the two principals who were mentioned in the article, a gentle line, just saying how pleased I was two business associates of mine working together. And I explained how I knew each of them. And I've already had emails back from both of them saying how pleased they were that I'd seen it and taken the time to write to them and so on. And looking forward to doing business in the new year, which would be brilliant. So I was absolutely buzzing on the back of that.
Have you all learned something from that? Just get back in touch, say nice things, phone them up. Brilliant. Thank you, Mark. Can we do one more? Anybody else like to share what you've had, you enjoyed in the last 24 hours?
Well, over here in the States, my particular neighborhood where we moved, we're in a big hurry to get 2020 out the door. We're giving it what's called the bum's rush out the door. So we decided to put our Christmas tree or Christmas lights up early. So I spent the weekend putting them up. And the greatest thing that happened to me was the little four-year-old girl across the street came out and she was skipping and laughing and clapping her hands at how she said, Mr. Tim had the prettiest house. So I did not expect that at all. And clearly the best thing in 24 hours.
Yeah. I love it. Do you know something, Tim and everybody else? To me, the greatest thing in the world is a child's smile.
Exactly.
You see a child smiling, isn't it? And the most heartbreaking thing in the world is when you watch newscasts of places like Syria, where the poor children are victims of war. That is the worst. Okay, thank you, guys. Let's go back. So, what's next? Now, when you start asking people business questions, by the way, never start conversations whenever you meet anybody. Hi, nice to meet you. What do you do? Always find something in common, some area of small talk to begin with. So once you go back to face-to-face networking, what I would ask you to do is ask, hello there, nice to meet you. Where have you traveled from today? What made you come to the conference? Isn't this a magnificent hotel? Whatever it is, something nice and simple to begin with. Derek, can you hear me?
I can, Will, yes. I can see.
I seem to have the slide so big I can't see anybody. Can we see this slide?
You haven't got the slides up at the moment, Will.
Oh, it might have something to do with the fact that I haven't shared them.
You're not sharing the slides. No, don't worry. Yeah.
There we go. That just shows you how...
I'll be your wingman anytime. Don't worry.
Okay.
The slides are coming up now.
Okay.
You need to put that on full screen. Yep, you've got it now. And people, if they want to, can adjust that that line.
That's side by side. So, when you start getting into the business questions, can I ask you to be disciplined in the way in which you ask them? Ask them about the now, ask them about the past, and ask them about the future. So I'm going to very quickly whip through the sort of questions you might consider. You will have hundreds more, all different, but see, these are some of the ones that I ask. And when you see the questions in bold, for me, I think you should always be asking those questions. So the first question you'll obviously ask somebody is that one. But if they tell you they work at such and such a company that you've never heard of, or even if you have heard of it, so somebody says to you, I work at Coca-Cola, make sure that you always ask that next question. And that way you can direct your questioning depending on their role and responsibilities. So Rob, again, you wouldn't ask somebody at Coca-Cola what problem does your business solve. But if it's a company that's a bit technical or a bit IT-ish, then if you ask that question, they might be able to tell you without too much jargon. So rather than saying, what does the company do, and they give you their industry technology, if you ask it that way, then you might get a layman's answer. That, for me, tells me whether it's a proactive company or a reactive company. And of course, because I do what I do, it's always useful to know that for me. And here are some more present situation questions. Oh, by the way, I've got to share this with you, everybody. I absolutely hate the question, how's business? I mean, when they say how's business, does that mean today, this week, this month? If you're going to ask them how their business is, ask it in a trendy way. What do I mean by that? So as we're coming to the end of the year, you might say, how's the year going for you in this unusual year? When we get to next February, you might say, how's the year started for you? Or halfway through the year, something like that, how's the year going? So don't ask stupid questions like, well, I think it's stupid anyway, how's business? And then more questions, basic. Now, I don't know whether you are interested in knowing the size and scale of the business representative that you're talking to, but I generally work with bigger businesses. So that gives me an indication of the size and scale of a business. And then things, the current events. In Tim's case, what are the consequences of Biden taking over from Trump, perhaps? Generally, though, avoid politics and religion. Although in this day and age, I don't think we can. And again, that gives you an indication of what sort of a company they are. So those are questions about the present, questions about the past. Again, anybody who's set up their own business or been there at the start loves that question. Or that question. In fact, I'm going to put you into breakout rooms in a minute, and I'm going to get you to ask those sort of questions off each other, just to find out about each other. Basic questions. And then, so those are questions about the business. Then get a bit personal. By the way, you could change the words, and I'd rather you didn't, to, so what's your big challenge at the moment? I see that as a negative. Turn it into a positive by asking that. It's the same question, but ask it in a slightly different way. And then questions like this. Remember this, people love talking about themselves. Good networkers let them. You would go into those questions as the conversation starts to blossom and bloom. And if you're enjoying their company and you do think there is some potential opportunity, then make sure you stay on the one-to-one with them in that room. And then questions for the future. I only ever ask one question about the future, and there it is. So if somebody's an employee, I know we've got some NHS people here this evening, obviously you wouldn't ask that, but you might say to somebody in the NHS, so where do you see your career going in the next 12 to 18 months? Or if they're a business owner or somebody senior in their business, it might be that. And then of course, if you spot the aha moment, you then need to do the follow-up questions, which we're going to do after the next breakout room. So I'm going to try and put you into different breakout rooms, and there are the questions. Everybody okay with that? Let's see if we can mix and recreate you. Same 3 or 4 minutes. Everybody ready? Let's go. You got the questions?
Well, we're back again. That was a good session. Very good, Will. Very good indeed.
Now, I know you've all heard something interesting, but here's the question. Is anybody prepared to share what they heard in the last 5 minutes? Somebody. Now, you, Amy, you like chatting. Come on. Get off that Zoom, Amy. Who did you meet?
I am actually sworn to secrecy with my discussion, so I cannot share that.
No way.
We don't buy that, Wayme. We don't buy that.
Can you throw it out?
It is actually true. It is actually true. Okay. I just gave her the idea from my book. My book is getting published very soon, and it's a different format. And I said, please don't do that. But Amy was golden. Amy talking about how her blog has been growing and growing, and she's got a great lineup of guests. And it was a very, very good conversation again.
Thank you, Tim, and sort of thank you, Amy.
Yeah, we're going to have Amy off on that. I don't know, Will.
No, we'll well let her off, because that shows you what a trustworthy person she is.
Absolutely.
Somebody else. Who did you meet and what did you learn? Anybody? Shy people in the room. Somebody.
Okay, yes, John, Keith. John, Keith Watson here.
Keith and then John Vine. Yes, Keith. Who did you meet?
Well, I was with... what was the name?
Oh, dear.
That's a good start. Helen.
Helen, good.
And absolutely fascinating, because my career was nursing, and I'm in the male career, and she's a structural engineer. What an amazing coincidence that we were in, you know, I'm in a career that everyone used to think was a female career, but doesn't necessarily wash, does it? And
isn't this a beauty, Keith?
Isn't this a beauty?
It's like throwing a load of cards up in the air and seeing what drops.
It was absolutely lovely talking to us. Absolutely great.
Thanks for sharing, Keith. John?
Right, okay. Well, I was speaking to Martin Kearns, and he was a banker by profession and worked in human resources and training. And I discovered that he became a trainer for the British Transport Police in the last few years. And that was quite an interesting coincidence, because I happened to have been a former chief constable. So I was quite interested in the training he was delivering to British Transport Police during a time when the policing budget was cut back sort of in the last few years. So he found that very stimulating and quite a refreshing change from his career in banking.
Thanks for sharing that, John. I bet you were all getting so interested that when Will Kinty said you've got 1 minute to go, I bet you all went, no, we want more, didn't you? Well, Listen, if you enjoyed that person's company, you'll remember who it was. Well, most of you will remember the name anyway.
Helen.
Helen. Well done, Helen. And when this is finished after this, you can have a virtual coffee with them.
Well, I just want to say one thing while you're getting your slides up, everybody. John Vine is coming on the show next week. John Vine's a very interesting man. I met him on an aeroplane networking coming back from Sofia at a conference. And I'm going to be asking him about one or two of the really interesting negotiations he's got into being in charge of a whole police force. So don't miss next Monday at 5 o'clock.
Thank you, Derek. Derek, can we see this slide?
Yep, that's fine, Will.
Okay, so we're going into the last section now. I don't know what my timing is. It's probably a tiny bit more than 31 minutes. Are we okay?
Yeah, you're up to about 36 at the moment, Will, but you are an accountant. I know you can't add up.
So moving on, everybody. Unfortunately, that's one of the truer things that Derek has said. Ladies and gentlemen, when it came to adding up or numbers as an accountant, I was rubbish. But you know what? I was the best client getter. And I'm going to explain why in a minute. So when you spot a potential opportunity, we call it the aha moment, or we call it the light bulb moment. I want you to follow things up. It might be a social follow-up as opposed to a business follow-up. And the reason we don't follow up is we're worried about going down this track, the pest track, the black cloud, the annoying track. Well, for the last few minutes, I'm just going to share with you some thoughts about you not doing that, about you following things up to the end. So what is the difference between following up professionally and following up and pestering? Well, number one, it's all about asking permission. So once we go back to networking and business cards, if you're going to follow something up, get their business card and say, is it okay if I give you a ring in the next few days? Because you said da, 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 da. And I think there might be something in it for both of us. Now, I know, like me, many of you sent proposals for work and you get radio silence. And how many of you give up at the first follow-up or even the second follow-up? But when you get to the third or fourth follow-up, everybody, and preferably I'd like you to follow up with phone calls, but you can always have a mix of phone calls and emails and text. I think text is fantastic. Text is very, very intimate. People can't ignore text. They can delete you on the email and they can ignore your phone calls. They don't even need to listen to the message. But text, somehow or other, they have to read it. So how do we ensure that we can't accuse of pestering? Well, when I get to my third or fourth email or whatever it is, I say, look, prospect, I'm beginning to think I'm annoying you. Please give me guidance. If you don't want me to follow you up anymore, I won't. I'll take you out of my folder and I'll wish you every success. So try that, everybody. You see, we don't like hearing no, but no is the second best answer after yes. It's the bit in the middle, the uncertainty that we hate. And that's the worst thing with COVID, isn't it? We can't make any plans whatsoever because we don't know what's going to happen. And it's the same here in following up. We want either a yes, we're going to do something further, or no, we're not going to. And that way it's cleared off and we know where we stand. For older people here, that is picking up the phone. For the younger people here, that is picking up the phone. I bet a number of younger people on this call have never ever picked up a phone like that. People like Derek and myself and Tim and a few other vintage people have used that phone. I don't care how brilliant a worker of the room you are, or even a great questioner. But if you don't follow things up, well, you've read the slide. And for those of you like me in the advice-giving business, please remember this. You are offering your knowledge, your expertise, and your experience, which will add value to their business. Sorry, I should have taken property. I was working for a load of American estate agents or realtors last week. So we had the property values on there. I apologize for not adjusting that slide. So please, everybody, follow things up. You're going to charge that much for your time, but the value they're going to get from you is that much. So what are you doing? You're giving them a gift. And as I'm about to hand back to Derek, I'm offering you a gift. This is my 99 tips of how to follow up, what to say in that phone call, what to say to a voicemail, what to say to a receptionist and other gatekeepers. If you want that tips booklet, I'd be delighted to send it to you. You can all find out where I am. I will put my email in the chat box in a minute and send me an email. So maybe you fancy that. If you're not good at following up, that tips booklet might be useful to you. And on that basis, it's now back to our sponsor. Thank you, Derek, for letting me speak. I hope you all found something from that. And I shall now sit down and hand back to you, sir.
Will, thanks very much indeed. Big round of applause in the usual way for Will Kintish there. Absolutely brilliant. Fantastic.
Thank you.
And you've really nailed the online Zoom work. I can see you've done an awful lot of work on that since we last had you on the show, Will. Congratulations on that. A lot of good comments in the chat box. Before we close the recording, and I know Will's promised to stay on after I close the recording down, if there's any questions to go in the chat box, please put them in the chat box. In the meantime, I've been taking my usual copious notes, even though I've been recording it on Otter and also for YouTube, because I'm just a passionate note taker, and I always learn something from Will, and I've learnt a number of things today, or relearned them, as we say. Mungo says there's two structural engineers on today, which thank you for that, Helen. And it's great what a mixture of different jobs and people that we have on here, and also cultures as well. Tim from Texas, Gregor from Slovenia, and Carol and Carla from the north of Scotland as well. So I'm probably not allowed to say that, but I will anyway, because I know them well. Well, I had to take some clients to Wimbledon, and can you believe it? We used to go in the, on the centre court, but I used to dread it raining, and it rained once, and I was stuck in a tent for 3.5 hours with this couple, with my wife, and they did not ask us one question about us. They didn't know one thing about us. And in the end, I almost bullied them to go to the museum in Wimbledon just to get rid of them so we could have a bit of space, Sally and I. It was honestly 3.5 hours. I couldn't believe that. So I thought the breakout rooms worked really well. You worked that brilliantly. And thanks for doing that, because certainly the two people I spoke to were very interesting. You are an accountant. You insisted on 31 minutes, but you took 46 minutes and 25 seconds. But that's what I would expect from you. And
we charge by the minute.
Yeah, well, that's...
Excuse me. Can I just say this? If you'd worked it all out and checked it forensically, I spoke for 31 minutes. The extra bit was everybody else in their breakout rooms. I just thought I'd share that with you.
It wasn't on this report you sent me this morning telling me exactly what you were going to do. But
so I changed the goalpost.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're a Manchester United supporter, so that's your problem. But we won't go into football because I know some people aren't interested. Jill English says 31 minutes to 46 minutes is inflation in Manchester. I get that. Mark Quigley is a banker, for those of you that didn't really understand what he was talking about there. And but he's a salesman as well, which all bankers should be. Tim says revenue follows relationship. I like that one very much. I think I'll put that into my book. And if it says she's just had her aha moment, I don't know what a aha moment is, but if she could either share that with us or put it in the chat box, that would be great, because I know Will loves to know what people's aha moments are. And
hi, Derek, hi. Yeah, and no, I'm quite happy to share. I take people's cards. I never think to say, can I contact you in a couple of days, or would you like to send me an email? And I think that is my key thing. I don't make that first contact, let alone anything else. So
brilliant.
Thank you very much. That really sort of like, that's what I'm doing wrong.
That's a great thing to share, because there'll be other people on this call that don't do that. And I might even be one of those at some stage. So yeah, thanks for sharing that. And John says, John Lisby down in Southampton, do you mean you should follow up by an unscheduled call? Isn't it better to agree the time of the call by email in advance? Will?
Okay, going back to what Iffert said, you get their card, you look at it, you find something to comment on about it, and then you ask the question. You know, when we were talking a few minutes ago, you said you had a problem with, or you said you were interested in, you then look them in the eye because you want the truth, and you say, how do you feel about me giving you a call on Tuesday or Wednesday next week? And let's continue the conversation then. So what if they say, yeah, I know I'm going to be in the office on Wednesday, say, look, so I don't forget, is it okay if I just jot that down on the back of the card in front of them? When you get back home, you send them an email saying, lovely to have met you. I really enjoyed our conversation about da, 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 da. As agreed, because you asked and they said yes. As agreed, I look forward to us continuing our conversation next Wednesday. Enjoy the rest of the day, or something like that. So you've set the whole phone call up at the most important time, which is when you met them at the event.
Fantastic, Will. Thanks very much. Guys, I'm still recording it, so I'm just going to close now, and then we'll ask Will to stay on and we can ask him those real white knuckle questions that he didn't want asked on the recording. Thanks, everybody, for joining the Derek's Monday chat show. Don't forget, next week we have John Vine on, and we're going to go into some negotiation issues with him. On the 7th of December, we have our Business Mastery event. There's already 146 people signed up for that, and I have Patricia Frippon, Tim Durkin, who's with us now, Gabrielle Gachet, who you already know, and Graham Jones. All five of us are going to give you our best tips for 2021, and we're going to have a Christmas party on the 21st of December. I saw Esther Stanhope, you might remember, have her party last Thursday. She did it brilliantly. It was great fun. And we'll do that on the 21st of December. So thanks for joining me, and I'll catch up with you all next week. Have a fabulous week. And if you're watching on YouTube or listening to the podcast, I look forward to catching up with you soon, and email me at action@derekarden.co.uk. Good evening.
Well done.